Today's daf is daf Chof Aleph, and we're starting a brand new perek Eva Metzias in Meseches Bava Metzia. So, before we begin, let's just review the fact that the Torah in the Parsha that is dedicated to the integrity of relationships, which is Lo Teitzei, the Kitetzei, we have Lo Tireh et Shor Achicho et Tzeyon Nidachim V'Italamta Mehem Hashev Teshivim L'Achicha. So now you see something that belongs to someone else. He's not around. Take it into your home. And keep it until your friend comes and asks for it. Obviously, we have to darshan where we have all these psukim. So, we have a number of issues over here. One is an isser of lo tuchal l'hitalim. The other is hashev teshivim, or hashev osilo. There's some question as to whether the chiyav of Hashev Teshivim is chal immediately upon seeing it, together with the lav of Lo Tuchal L'Hitalem, or there's a lav of Lo Tuchal L'Hitalem, and when you take it, V'yasavta Toch Beitecha, then comes the Chiyav of Hashev Osilo. But that the essay may not be chal until you actually take it in. And we'll see if we have rayas as we go. There's another issue over here, and that is that the Pasuk uses the word simlato, from which we darshan, that simlato means something that is identifiable, something that he would be able to say, this is mine, and that without that, perhaps all of this doesn't kick in. There's also another Pasuk, we're going to discuss both of the issues today even, the implications of these things, which is asher tovad mimenu, something that's lost from him. How about if it's lost for everyone? Let's say it was caught by a tsunami, and it's just flying through the air with the greatest of ease. Nobody really could be considered a bialim on that. That represents the other extreme of something that is lost. Again, all to be discussed. The reason, now that we've gotten over here, you'll remember that we started Shnayim Ochazim in order to start off with a completely fresh field to defining the nature of Baalut without getting into issues of Chazakah. What establishes Baalut starting from zero? The other end of that, the opposite end, is what stops Baalut. If we say that when something is lost, you're still a Baalim, under what circumstances are you still a Baalim? Is Baalut, as we saw earlier, that certainly there are times when Baalut needs to be assertable. If it was lost, is it assertable? Is the problem of not having a simon on it, the fact that for all intents and purposes, you have lost your ownership because there's no practical way for you to get it back? Or is this simply a question of logistics, that the Torah is not mechayev someone to give it back because there's no real sure way to identify you? All of these questions, of course, we'll have to deal with. But lemaisa, there's no better way for us to discuss the relationship that a person has to a chefetz through the concept of baalut than to describe what happens to it when it's lost. Because over there we don't have any transference of baalut, we don't have anybody else took it over, there's no hefker, nothing has changed. So the only thing that will determine the chiyav that you have to return it is if it still belongs to somebody else. What makes it belong to somebody else? This is a reyacha. So again, we're really continuing our idea of a tabla rasa and the issue of baalut. And this is one of the most fundamental issues, of course. Take a look at Mishpatim. It's all about baalut, basically. Who is considered to be a baal? What is it that you need to do for hurting baalut, damaging baalut, and so on? Or for standing in place of the baal and having now the chiyuv of the baal? This on every level, not only on torts, but even in terms of rape, seduction. We have exactly the same principles, all involved in the same, which is the same word, which is baalut. So we begin with the mission as follows. Actually, we should have somebody saying, "Fang don the helik aperek." I mean, the mission is not enough even, but unfortunately, we're left without our backup team. So, elu mitziot shelo, ve'elu chayav lahachriz. The following things. Some of them are things that are yours, finders keepers, and some things you have to announce. That's not a very, very good contrast, is it? I mean, saying some things you don't have to announce and some things you do have to announce. But it's certainly not in perfect opposition over here to say these things you can keep, but these things you have to announce. And indeed, the Rishonim are medayik this. When it says Eilam Mitzvot Shelo, it means that if you take one of those things that are yours, the issue is not whether you have to be machriz. Because even if a guy comes along and says, "Hey, that's mine," and he proves to you that it was his, you don't have to give it back to him. Therefore, if I would have just said, Ve'elo eino chayav lachriz, I'd never know that. Okay. I'm not mechuyev to run around finding a balim. If the balim comes and identifies himself, so mechuyev has to give it to him. No. And that's exactly the point here, that what we're coming to discuss is not so much the nature of mitziyot and the chiyuv of being machers for mitziyot. More importantly, are which mitziyot can be yours, because that already will cut to the very core of the nature of balut. So matzah perot mefuzarim, ma'ot mefuzarot. You find now scattered perot. We're going to see what the issue over there is, the fact that they're scattered. More we'll discuss this. But we're assuming that since they're scattered, the owner doesn't have a hope of getting them back. Ba'ot mefuzarot, or scattered coins, krichot b'reshut harabim, or even if you have a small omer. How do you say that in English again?
Grain.
Yeah, omer of grain is called what?
Bushel.
No, it's tied up. I forget what you know, there's a special word for it. Yeah, sheaves, right? Don't they? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, sheaves of grain. All right, so you have a tied up sheaf of grain that are in the Reshut HaRabim. And note, only over here does it mention Reshut HaRabim. There's a reason for that. We're going to see in the Gemara, there's a number of issues that need to be taken into consideration. There's actually a machloket. Because it may mean over here, even though the Kricha has a simen built into it, since it's in Reshut HaRabim, but it's going to be trampled, that simon is as if it doesn't exist. There's another issue that may also be Nargay in Krichot of Reshut HaRabim, which is that the Krichot, it doesn't say that they're Mefuzarim, and if anything, a Kricha is the opposite of Mefuzar, that's the point. In other words, we're contrasting Mefuzar to Karuch, right? Not loose, but all tied together. So therefore, if it wouldn't have been Reshut HaRabim, I would have assumed somebody set it down that way. If they set it down that way, why should I touch it? They're going to come back and take it. But if it's in Reshut HaRabim, so then it's not Shamur at all. They figure somebody's going to kick it around. What's the point of lying it there on my own? So it must be that, in fact, we don't say that in such a case, we'd have to worry not about a simon, nor about someone who lay it down on purpose. The igule dvela, where you found now the igule dvela, that's what they used to do with fig. They used to actually put it into a form and turn it into a cake with pressed figs. Kikrot shel nachton. Now the thing with these issues are that they're generic. Everybody uses a standard kli to press figs in. Everybody that buys cake in a bakery is going to buy, or challah in a bakery. It's all going to look the same. So there's tens of thousands of these challahs that are scattered around the city. Nobody's going to figure that somebody's going to identify his challahs. Machrozot shel dagim v'chatichot shel basar, or for that matter, you've got now a line of string with a bunch of fish tied to it, or pieces of meat that are also standardized supermarket cuts. Gizei tzemer halakuchin b'medinatan or mimedinatan. So you have now raw wool that hasn't been particularly processed, and it's just the standard wool that's come straight from the working place. Or anitzei pishtan, which is the equivalent thing when it comes to pishtan as opposed to wool. So that's those fibers they used to wrap the etrogim in. That would be a nitei pishta. Lushonot shel argamot, called a lashon, because here the wool is actually combed out, so it takes on a tongue shape before you dye it, argaman. But these are all standard. Hare elu shalom, these belong to you, divrei Rabbi Meir. Divrei Rabbi Meir is not so clear, it really belongs here. It might be stam mishnah. Anata machlokas Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, which has its own dinim of harpaskin. Rabbi Yehuda omer, koshi yesh bo shinui chayav lachriz. We don't look necessarily at the fact that something is standard, because even something standard may have something strange that would be its siman. For instance, let's say you find an igul dveila that has a piece of cheres inside of it. So then maybe the owner would be aware of the cheres, and he would identify with the cheres. Or you buy a challah, and lo and behold, there's a $100 bill inside. That's a pretty nice siman. Why in the world Rabbi Meir wouldn't have agreed with that? This Gemara is going to discuss later. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, kol klei anpuria, all regular, generic, marketable kelim that are new. We'll see exactly what the word means later. Ein chayav la'achris, and we'll see why avidavke yeshita, most learn that this is chaylik. The Tanakhama does not agree with all you chayav la'achris. Okay, so let's move on here. Kama, when you say matzah perot mefuzarim. Now, one way of saying matzah perot mefuzarim would be simply to say, since it's all spread out and it fell, the guy has no way. How are you going to identify fruit that fell from you? So therefore, it's very simple. There's no way that the guy still is going to be thinking of getting it back. The problem is, we're going to see that Rabbi Yitzchak himself, who asks Bekama, is actually of the opinion that unless we can figure out that there's a good reason for why, even if the guy knows about it, he would have been miyayish on it, then it wouldn't help, because he paskins later on, like Abaye, as we're going to see just very shortly, that unless a person knows that something is missing, it's called Yerushalomidat, still considered to be his until such time he actually knows about it. You're walking along and you find something lying on the floor. Why should you assume that you can take it if this guy doesn't know about it yet? So when he asks Vikama, he is looking for a reason to say that even had he known about it, he wouldn't have been interested in taking it. That's the thing. And that would be, therefore, a measure of the value of the fruit and their relationship to the amount of trouble that it's going to take for him to pick it up. So it's the pizur, the fact that it's spread out. There comes a point where something falls, you just say, the heck with it, I got no time for this. Obviously, it depends how much it's worth. Obviously, it depends how small it is. It depends over what kind of area it's scattered. All of those things, now the Gemara needs to take into consideration. If you hold that we need to show, just by the way that it is, that clearly he had now no das to take. So what would be the kama, what, the same Rabbi Yitzchak does this, and is asking this question, of the kama, so that would be prima facie, what exactly is lost? Kav be'arba amot, says the Gemara, well, I mean, doesn't it matter how it is that you find it? I mean, if yidami, iderach nefila, I mean, if it clearly fell, so then, would it matter how much there is? Even if there's a lot, so afilu duvanami. V'derech inuach, if the guy put it down carefully, then afilu mibotzer me'ochi inani lo. You're not allowed to pick up something somebody's planning on coming back and taking, right? Omer avukul barachama, no. You missed the point. Rav Yitzchak has got to be talking about where the guy knows about it. It's irrelevant to us, whether it's the derech inuach and so on. We are talking about b'machnash t'devei dari askinan. We're talking about during the period where people are collecting their grain. And here we're talking about grain. They're collecting their grain from the threshing floor. It's a very fine time for us to have this daf. And this guy has already threshed. The owner has threshed this grain. And he left this amount behind. Now the question is he planning on coming and taking it or not? So therefore, what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying is that if you have kav b'arba amot, so then it's too scattered to make it worthwhile for me to come back. So there it's nafish tirchayu lo tarach inesh. A guy is not going to bother returning v'lo hada adi v'shakelohu. He's not going to bother returning and taking it, and therefore he's left it here because he's been mafkirit. If he's been mafkirit, so then you can take it. So afkiri mafkirohu. But sir mihachi, if it's scattered over a lesser area, then it's worth the tircha. Tarach v'hadar ati. V'shark is going to bother enough to come back and to pick it up. V'lo mafkilu. By the way, there are others, including the Rambam, who learns machnash the Vedari is not a period of time, but it's actually referring to place. It's in the place of the Goren, is what it means. It's a simple meaning. Anyway, so what this has taken for granted is that there's a certain relationship of the amount of tircha that he's going to go through for how much he's going to get out of that tircha. I mean, obviously, if diamonds fell, I'm sure he would take all of the tircha in the world to pick up every one, no matter how wide an area it was scattered over.
Is this which, the guy was losing it?
Yeah, so this, well, he didn't lose it. Right. That's the point. Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, well, if he lost it, we can't be sure then, right? But boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, I mean, based on that obvious observation. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, well, is there a tipping point? I mean, because, look, certainly people will bend down to pick up things. But let's say you've got chatzi kav v'shtei amot. You're talking about a kav b'arba amot. How about if you have a half a kav b'shtei amot, mahu? So Tosis says, well, what's the logic in that? It's the same exact proportion, isn't it? So Tosis understands that the Gemara's question is there a tipping point? I may well come back for something scattered over 2 amot, but when I see double the amount scattered over 4 amot, I say, forget about it. I really don't have the patience. So there is a tipping point at which I no longer feel that I want to bother. We are all familiar with that psychological point. It's just too much for me to handle. So okay, so if it's a smaller amount, so then maybe you haven't reached that tipping point yet, even though it's proportionately, you prorate it as exactly the same. That's one approach in Tosfos. The other approach in Tosfos is that perhaps it doesn't mean in terms of square amot. Perhaps it means 2 by 4, or it means 2 squared, in which case it would be, you would end up with having a higher concentration, but you'd also have less value. So would you be willing to go for the lesser value and take the tircha because of the fact that it's more highly concentrated? That would be the question. Okay, but both really are valuable questions. So the question that I'm asking, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, time of mind, but what's the main focus here? Is the main focus on the reaction to the difficulty of picking things up? The nefesh tarchayu? Well, so then if there's only a chatzi kav, b'shtei amot, you don't have that much trouble. The lo nefesh tarchayu, so then maybe it wouldn't be mafkid. Or is the issue over here that the tircha, most fundamentally, you first come to a judgment of how much value is involved in all of this. If it's not kosher for you, it's at that point that you make the determination that you don't want to go to the tircha. So perhaps over here, since it's worth even less, obviously can't mean that's the only point, because there was a ratio of value to tircha that was given right up front by Rabbi Yitzchak. In other words, what is the fundamental point here? So if the idea is because it's not chashev, then a chatzi kav is even less chashev. So that despite the fact that it would be in shtei amot, the way Tosfos second teretz goes, kiven delo chashivi mafkiluhu. I got another question. How about if you got double the value proportionately in Shmona Amot? That's proportionately the same. So is Kav Ba'arba Amot, again, fundamentally, time of mind, Mishon, Denovish Tirchayu, are you looking really at being overwhelmed by the amount of trouble you're going to have to pick this up? Well, if that's the case, you're going to have double the trouble. If you're talking about Kabayim, so Kabayim b'shmona amot, it's going to be a lot more tircha. So over there, given the fisha tarchayot tve, that's even more tircha. So clearly, if that's the main point, mafkilu. Odilma mishub dolo chashivi is the point that, well, I won't begin worrying about getting into all of this hassle just for one kav's worth, let's say $5 worth. I'm not going to do it. But for $10, I will. Now, once I do it, I'll already go into Shmona Amot. So again, what are the psychological issues involved here? So Kabayim b'Shmona Amot kivin dechashivi lo mafkili. I've got another issue. If you're talking about the interrelationship of the tircha to the value, the way you stated it was purely in terms of the ratio of dollar per square inch. That's the way you related it. But I mean, there are other issues, because there are things that are easy to pick up and things that are difficult to pick up. I mean, we need to define that which would be a norm enough that would allow you to take it, even though, which is the same din, by the way, of the Elul Mitziot Shelo. An owner is coming along and he said, you're assuming that you can take this because I was miyayish. Well, I got news for you. I'm not the kind of guy that's ever miyayish on anything. You know, I was certainly never miyayish. The Mishnah is saying, Elo mitziot shelo, that you, in fact, have a right to say batla daita. So, in other words, at what point can we say it's nothing to worry about? And if there's anybody that's cuckoo, is so crazy, it's batla daita anyway. So we need to be able to give a simen.
But there are no jobs out there, and there's no other working opportunities.
You're right. Everything would have to be analyzed according to norm. If people are starving, obviously,
well,
they'll pick up every last...
Well, that's the value of the product. It's increased. But in terms of the person involved...
But the willingness to work is also increased, no? Not only the value.
Well, if you don't have anything else to do and you're just going to go home and watch TV, then you may want to pick
up... I don't know. People watch TV even less likely to pick something off.
They're still working because there's no electricity.
They don't call them couch potatoes for nothing. Okay, I mean, these are obviously, all things like this are guidelines. And then you need to be able to apply them. You know, I mean, there's 10 trillion other products, you know. The Gemara's not going to tell you all of it. The Gemara's giving you certain guidelines for you to know what to take into consideration in making these determinations. So what we're asking right now is, Okay, but what are the elements of your guidelines? Is it just value to area? How about difficulty, visibility? I mean, you haven't mentioned half of the things that we need to take into consideration here. I mean, how about if we're talking about sumsumi? Very difficult to pick up sesame. But, I mean, they're worth a lot more than chit. So how about a kav of sumsumin ba'arba amot, ma'am? I mean, again, is the main issue over here that the distance makes it difficult, or is it that it's not considered to be valuable enough? Well, if the point is not valuable enough, is mishum dolo chashivi, sumsumin are very expensive. So given the chashivi, lo maftilu. Or maybe just the opposite. Maybe the main focus is it's too much hassle. If that's the case, lo chashivi, sumsumin is even more hassle. The koshken sumsumin, they're given enough fish terchayu, tvei maftilu. Or let me ask something else. How about a fruit, tamarim? I mean, those are big fruit, you know. So kav tamari ba'arba amot. How about if you have tamari, you have dates? Or kav rimonim. Now, of course, they're different value per square inch there. So do we say kav ba'arba amot is essentially because it's not chashuv? Kav tanri ba'arba amot, kav rimoni ba'arba amot is also, I mean, that's not chashuv, so therefore is mafkilu. Or is it because we've taken it to consider, this is the opposite, obviously, what we just said about the sumsum. Is it because we've looked at the difficulty of picking up chitim? Kav tamari barbamot, kav rimoni barbamot. It's pretty easy, very visible, just bend down and pick up some fruit for heaven's sake. So maybe lo mafkilu. My, all of the above, there's no way for us to give guidelines on and take them, and we're left to our own devices here. Itma. The main issue, however, is the assumptions that seem to be made in the Mishnah. Now, obviously, Reb Yitzchak has not made this assumption because he's given us this whole business that it's talking about the guy knew about it, and we're just trying to analyze whether he meant to come back to take it. I mean, surely that doesn't fit across the Mishnah. I mean, it's very nice for the Mefuzarot. What do we do with all the other cases? So there's a more fundamental question over here, which is, would the Mishnah, in fact, give you the right to pick up something where there hasn't been any change vis-a-vis the owner? The owner doesn't even know what happened. So again, we know that there are certain things, as the Gemara will point out, in which the inability to assert your ownership equals non-ownership. Is this one of those things?
Right.
Since you can't, like the case of the river below something, right, in a flood, you lose your ownership to it. You lose your rights because you cannot assert those rights. So,
what are those rights? You put your hands on it?
Those rights. The rights are the rights of ownership. To demand a return that you can't steal. What do you mean, what are those rights? You can't assert them. Look, you want it, take it. No, you can't take it. There's nothing to do. You can't sell it. Nobody's going to buy it from you. It's not yours to give it to him. You can't deliver it. What are your rights of ownership?
As if I don't own it.
Well, that's a question which we'll get to in a moment, whether as if is the real thing or as if isn't quite the real thing. You'll remember back from Baba Kama, this is an important point there. Baba Kama, we spoke about differences if whether when a person bought something from a ganav, the owner had already been miyayish. Tosus pointed out that consistently, if the owner is miyayish after you buy it, doesn't help. Therefore, says Tosus, it's clear that this idea of yirsh, of not wanting to assert your ownership, giving up, is not the same as hefker. Because if it were the same as hefker, if the owner calls up and says, I'm hefker, then obviously, who cares if it was stolen? So, now you can keep it. So there must be some distinction between yirsh and hefker. It's clear. What exactly that distinction is has got a lot of possibilities as we go through the sugya. But it means apparently just the openness to a hasara of balut, but it cannot, once the Torah put a chiyuv on it to return it, then it doesn't help for the person to say, I've given up looking for it. Well, that's okay. The Torah hasn't given up looking for you. Then you'd have to say, I'm mafkir, I'm misalik myself from it. So that before the act of yirsh, then the chiyuv of returning takes the place of the baling. You, baling, may have given up, but I say, whoever has it has got to make sure they return it to the baling. So giving up is not saying it's no longer mine. So there's some midway point. Now here, the question is, if the guy doesn't know, but had he known, he would certainly have given up. What's the din? Abai amar lo aviyush, rav amar aviyush. One of the big, major machlokas that has vast impact all over Shas Does a person have to be aware of the state of his balut in order for that to have made a difference? Where is that word? Everybody's turning me on to the water. So now the Gemara is going to explain what it means. Look, if we're talking about a davar sheyesh bo siman, then kulei amalo pligei delo hava yush. If a person knows that the thing that he lost is recoverable, so then even if he says afagav deshamine demiyayish, even though at the end lesof, he says, oh, forget it. I'm never going to get it. If I haven't gotten it back by now, I'm never going to get it back. It's still lo havi. Why? Because the chiyata liyade bi suru deyata liyade. When you picked it up, since this is not something that normally a person would be miyayish from, so then dolchiyada d'dafim lo miyayish. When he finds out about it, he's not going to instantly be miyayish. Meimam, he's going to say to himself, well, simana ita begave, it's obviously identifiable. Somebody's going to find it. Yavana simana v'shakinali. So then I can give the simon and take it. There everybody agrees, once you've picked up something that the man knows he can recover, then you're going to have to return it. Then there's the other extreme. The other extreme is bezuto shel yam. So a zuto shel yam is either a tsunami or it's a massive tidal impact, which could happen every day. But the point is that there's some places where the tide comes in. I mean, it's like a tsunami. You know, absolutely washes away everything that's there. Or a shlulito shel nar. Shlulit comes from the word shalal, which means that it took it captive in war, so to speak. So a river overruns its banks, it just grabs everything along with it. So over there, afagav the ipe siman. There, even though it's identifiable, the Torah says it's no longer his. Rachumana sharia, kedabeinu lemeimer lekaman. We're going to see that letter later from Mimena. Rashi says an interesting thing here. So he says, afilu bat liyad hamotze lifnei yiush, which means that Rashi sees the concept of shlulit as being nogea yiush. So then, if it's nogea yiush, then we're going to have to explain why this is different. The guy has no idea that his thing has been washed away. He's in New York. This takes place in California. It's Shabbos. He's got no way to, he knows nothing about it. So why in that case, despite the fact that he doesn't know it, shlulit shayam, the Torah defines it as yush, or the Torah defines it as efkam? What does it mean, the Torah defines it as yush? To use that word is very strange here, yet Rashi insists on using that word, which perhaps might mean that he's saying that there are cases where, since it's not up to the guy at all, that immediately institutes a yush, even though it's shalom yidat. So that would mean that in every case of yush shalom yidat, we're always taking into consideration his reaction. Difficult to believe. Or it may mean that Rashi's giving the technical definition of the result of such an event. It's not hefker. It's yush. Now, whatever differences occur between hefker and yush, there may be nafkaminas in terms of the halach of meiser and so on, something that you take from hefker versus something that you take from yush. So he may just be saying the fact that the Torah says that you can keep that is a given, but the status of that thing is not that it's hefker l'kuleyom, it's that the until somebody takes it, it's something that has an owner who was miyayin. So you're able to take it, which is different than something that has no owner. Others disagree. They learn that it's a type of hefker. The Torah says, look, a bialus that cannot be asserted is not a bialus at all. They disagree with Rashi, yeah.
Rashi obviously changes.
So the problem of... Huh?
Rashi obviously changes the bias.
Yeah, I understand the whole question. So keep leaving the davar she'ein bo siman. So now, where is the machlokas of Abaye v'Rava? In the middle status between the zuto shoyam, the shrulita nahar on the one extreme, where it's a given that you cannot assert your balut, to the other extreme, where you do have a siman and it's a given that you could assert your balut, we are now in the middle. So had you known about it, you would have in fact said, it's not worth it. I'm not going to be able to get this back, which doesn't mean it's impossible to get back, but it means that you're not really thinking seriously of pursuing it. So therefore, at that point, it's already lost for all intents and purposes. Your balut in your own mind would have been the equivalent of a yirsh. So Abaye says, well, so what? Lo have a yirsh, do lo yada d'nafa. I mean, ask him, what has changed? The guy knows nothing about it. He is the owner. Theoretically, he could say he wants to remain the owner. So what has changed? Rava amar have a yirsh, de l'chiyada d'nafa mine miyayish. Rava says, look, the moment that he finds out about it, he is going to be miyayish. That's the norm. Meimar amar is going to say to himself, look, Simana let li begave. I don't have any simit. So therefore, for all intents and purposes, mehashtahu de miyayish. From the moment that it fell out of his pocket, it's almost a standing order that anything that I'm not going to be able to recover, I'm not interested. So the nefila, essentially, is the loss of bialis, even though it hasn't happened yet. It's interesting that there are, the Ravid actually has this question. Why wouldn't this relate to Breira? A typical Breira. Since if at the end of the process it turns out that you were Miyayish, so now that means that this was a made to be Miyayish. Tosis even uses the Lashon here, Lechinafa mine lo Miyayish, even though now he is Miyayish, and that's opening case. We heard him say he was Miyayish, but the time that I pick it up is not Miyayish. Tosis says a classical line that comes from the world of Breira. He says that doesn't mean that it's anything but coincident that he was Miyayish, but it wasn't now destined for you, which is the idea of Breira. So that means anything that is coincidental, that we view as just being statistical, is never Breira. That was Rashi's whole approach to non-Breira in the first place. Since the universe is statistical and not mechanical, so therefore there was nothing that was made to happen. That's exactly the words that Tosfos was using here. It wasn't made; it was just a coincidence. Right? It was Ba'akroi. Okay, so Enochinani, we have to clearly define, there's a lot of approaches to be able to precisely define why this is not a Breira-oriented issue, but it's a big, big subject. But I'm sure you could see some of them straight off the bat. Okay, so now what we need to do is look back at our Mishnah and see how these two approaches fit into the Mishnah. Okay, so now we took the case of the Peirot Mefuzarim. Now, of course, we now understand what was driving Marvukva Bar Chama, what was driving him to say that it was talking about a threshing floor, right? Because he didn't want to get into this. So we ask the first question, so in that first case, just because the perot are mefuzarim, you have no reason to assume that the guy knows that the perot fell. So you see from there that you can keep something, despite the fact that the guy didn't know about it, as long as when he will find out about it, he no longer intends to assert balut over it, right? Says the Gemara, no, not right. Because Amar Ravukva Bar Chama, Ravukva Bar Chama, and as we discussed earlier, that's because Ravukva Bar Chama holds like Abaye, and was concerned about the fact that this seems to imply that Yush Shalomi Da'at is Yush, and he holds it isn't Yush. So he said, no, it's talking about over here that the circumstances are such that it's clear that the owner knew, because he left it behind when he was removing stuff from the Malachnash to the Bezari. We're over there, it's called Aveda Midat, that he intended to leave it there and never intended to pick it up, and therefore it's Hefker. And if you get into the issue of Yush. Tashma, okay, fine, well what about the next case? Ma'ot Mefuzarot. It says over here you find scattered coins or Eilu Shelo. What makes it yours? The guy probably didn't know about it. Why don't you have to wait until you know for a fact that the person has given up? Amai, halo yada d'nafa mine. Ah, no, not true, says Abai. You do know. How do you know? Because as we're going to see elsewhere, Rabbi Yitzchak explains that Adam asui l'mashmesh b'kiso b'chol sha'a v'sha'a. People continually check their money. The other things they may lose, but they're always checking their money. And therefore, and you have every reason to assume that this guy is just like everybody else. He never takes a chance. He's always padding his pocket to make sure that it's still there. Well, it's still there.
So there is
worst thing to do in an elevator.
He's not Miyayish. So he's not Miyayish.
So he was Miyayish, because he already knew about it.
So he's disagreeing with what he's saying. in the Gemara.
Who's saying?
Disagreeing that somebody doesn't know. They're saying that they always know. So this statement of the Gemara that maybe...
No, the Gemara is saying maybe didn't know, answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak says when it comes to cash, you have a right to assume that he knew. Because people are always tapping their pockets to make sure they have their cash.
So it's not a proof for us.
Yeah, it's not a proof.
It's not that it's wrong, it's just not a proof.
Yeah, if you all the Rav Yitzchak, then this has nothing to do with the issue, because you can always assume that a guy knows he lost cat. Okay, how about the other case, all right? Igulei Tvela, Kikrot Shel Nachtom. Guy drops a challah he was buying for Shabbos. You're saying you don't have to return it because it's generic and there'd be no way to identify it anyway. But that's not the issue, according to Abaye. According to Abaye, the issue is he needed to know about the fact it was lost before you can rely on it's being generic. So, by the way, what does happen in such a case? You don't know, according to Abaye. So, what do you do?
Don't know.
So, I mean, according to the Rambam, just don't take it. Just leave it there. And if you do, in fact, take it, then it's yours, because there's no chiyuv of hashava, even though the guy has been miyayish, because the lack of a siman makes hashava not included in hashev teshivim. Whereas others hold that according to Baal, you have to wait until the Elio comes, because I have no way of returning it. And you took it be'isr. Okay, we'll see if we have proofs for that as we go along. But again, we have another case over here that seems to say clearly, even though you have no proof positive that the guy knew he dropped the challah, nonetheless you keep the challah. How can you keep the challah? So amai, v'alo yadad enough of it. According to Abaye, you don't know that the guy realizes that he missed the challah. No, you do know. Because, hatadami aydei agav diyakire, miden yadabahu. I mean, you can't drop a challah and not notice you dropped the challah. It weighs a lot. So does a kikar shel dveila. Well, you're talking about the kind of thing where somebody may not notice that he dropped it, but you certainly know that you dropped the challah. It'll take you 2 minutes to realize, well, wait a minute, what happened to what I was carrying? So therefore, you could assume that if this has been lying here for any amount of time, the guy knows about it.
We're assuming that this is the only thing he's carrying.
No matter what he's carrying, it's going to register. It's a major difference in weight.
Or his kid's not carrying it, or the agala is not.
Who's that carrying?
The kid isn't carrying it, and the agala is carrying it. Well, agala, it's on agala, like most people, so you don't know about agala.
Well, the Gura changes this to agav de chashive. He says that's the rush, actually. The rush's gear says, since it's something that he values, he wants to make sure that he has, he's going over his shopping list, he's not going to miss the challah. That's all he needs. So, but we do apply sometimes yakiri. Tashma, l'shonot shel argaman, hare elu shelo. You bought these dyed skeins of wool. So it's yours. Vamai. Holo yada denafamine. No, there too. Agav the Chashiv is very expensive stuff. He's bringing it home for his wife's art project. Mashmushim and mashmushpu. Ukarab Yitzchak. It's the same as Rabbi Yitzchak's idea. It's something that people care about. They keep tapping their package in their bag to make sure that they have it. Tashma. Hamotzei ma'ot bebatei knesiot, bebatei medrashot, bechol makom sharabim mitzuyim sham. You find some cash in a place that is filled with people. The deal is, are elo shalo. Why mitnei shabalim mit yashimeyem? But the implications here is that the guy is still in shul. Everybody's in shul. So then, he doesn't know yet, does he? He's not doing business. There was nafamin. And here is where Rabbi Yitzchak actually said his ma'amar. That knowing that you're missing cash does not happen just because you were in the store and took out your wallet. A person always checks his pockets. And therefore, we've applied this case. The reason that we waited till this case, why did Rabbi, we always do this, by the way, we always wait. First we say, well, it's like he says there. And then we get at the final end case. Here's where he said it, right? But that's because that case, all these other cases are extension cases. That case, why do we take that case? That case was a case that we needed to hear Rabbi Yitzchak because the mashma'ut is that he's still in shul. To the rabbin, it's a yimsha. So that was far more striking. I mean, what would be the explanation there? If it dropped, it just dropped now. I mean, we've only been in show for 10 minutes since they opened the doors. So why don't I have to, like, be mocked? Okay, so we have all of these cases that we've been able to explain away, and it's not a problem. Even if you're yosh, shalom idat lo ave yosh, it's okay. All right, how about this? Something that doesn't come up in the parsha of the din of mitziot, but it comes up again in the other Mishnayot of Leket that's proved to be a valuable mining source for dinim of Hefker and things like that. Me'imatai kol adam mutarim b'leket. So now, there's something that has fallen in a field. It was kosher for Leket. You could have taken it for yourself, but of course you can't because it belongs to the Aniyim. Now, at what point can you assume that the Aniyim are not coming for this? Mishielchu bo hanimushot. When the feelers come around, what does that mean? Vamina mainimushot. Shrib Yochanan means sabi da azle atigra. It means the old men that are walking through on their walking stick. They're walking very slow. They don't go very far. They spend a long time in one small area. If anything was there, they saw it. And if they didn't see it, and you're lucky enough to find something, nobody else would have been dumb enough to go through that field and say, I'll probably find something. Of course, you won't find anything. So then it was a coincidence. So all the Aniyim were already Miyayish. Rish Lakish Omar Likute Bata Likute. It's after it's already been through. The groups, the last group has come, the ones that collect at the end. But anyway, what's the difference? What you say? Leket belongs to all of the Aniyim on earth. Now, how do the Aniyim in China know that everybody has already walked by the second time over there in Kfar Saba? So there's Ike Aniyim Beduchta Achrita de Lo Miyajma. Aren't there some Aniyim somewhere that don't know about this? You're saying, but I mean, if they would know about it, they would be Miyajma. But that's not the point. Because according to Bai, it doesn't help to say if they would know, but they don't know. So if they don't know, they've never done that proactive yish, which is the only way to remove their balut. And since all matanot for Aniyim belong to all Aniyim, you're going to have a very serious problem of ever being matar anybody from taking something that belongs to some Ani who is not aware of the fact that it's there and he doesn't care. Well, that's not a problem, you see. Because Abaya says, given the Ika Aniyim Hocha, Hanach mi kore yuish mi ayish, va'amri Aniyim da'ata malakitle. All Aniyim are essentially miyayish from anything that they are not intending to take care of themselves. Because they, what are they going to do? Gee, maybe I should fly to Kfar Saba from China. And no, there's people there. By the time I get there, it's probably all going to be gone. So straight out at the beginning, they have no intent of ever taking it, and because of that, it's years in advance. So that doesn't prove anything. Okay, yeah.
But once it's done, it's Hefker for everybody. That's right.
It's huge for everybody.
Okay, but now someone that's not an Ani can come take it, right?
Someone who's not an Ani can take it. Yeah. So says the Gemara, how about this? Ktziot baderach. It should say matzah. Matzah ktziot baderach. Somebody finds now dried figs, where you slice the fig to let all the moisture come out, and then you leave it there in the field in the sun. Now it dries out, and you mark it as a dried fig. So now, the ktziot baderach, and for that matter, afil b'tzatz de ktziot. It's on the road, and they're all piled up right next to a field that is filled with these drying figs over here. Or if the tree of the fig is it's hanging over the road itself. So over there, the guy figures, okay, figs are going to fall off of that tree. You find te'inim tachtea, there's no problem. Mutarot mishum gezel. Not only that, they're considered to be hefker. Pturot min amaser. But if you found on the road zeitim or charuvim, then it would be osur. Now, our assumption was that the difference is over here, that if you've got a fig tree hanging over the road, you know that figs drop all the time. Anybody's walk along the streets here in the Rova sees all those figs dropping every day. So over there, the balim initially is just mafkid. I mean, never intends to get that part of the tree that's hanging over the road. Masha Enkin, our havamina was that when it comes to olives that don't fall so readily, or carob that doesn't fall so readily, so over there it would be indeed usser. So now, okay, the ratio works out according to Baya very well, because agav de chashive, memashmesh behu, the first part, that before we got to the business about the olives and stuff, I mean, you're talking about over there, you've got something that is chashev, you're going to come back, you're going to know that it's missing. Te'ena nami, the reason that te'ena is not a problem is because bida yada denatra, the owner knows that figs always drop, so therefore you don't have any chashash that he intended to get them back. He knew that it was going. But the seifa, the Sefer, the Rova is kasha, because diktanim b'zeitim b'charovim asur. According to Abaye, okay, according to Rova, why would anything ever be asur? Surely you're not suggesting that there are simanim on raw olives and carobs, are you? So then if that's the case, then why in the world would it be asur? According to Abaye, you could say it's asur because he didn't know. But according to Rav, it really doesn't matter if you know or you don't know. So why would it be usher? Omer Rebbe Avu, no. That the issue is not the question of whether the guy knows it's going to fall. Actually, Zeitim, and this of course refers to Charuvim, Hoyo v'chazuto mochiach alav. There's a number of different approaches to this. Some learn that what it means is that it's identifiable by its connection to the, its similarity to the other fruit on the tree. So therefore I can see, I'm walking along the road, I'm looking up, there's a tree there. I see these things, they match the olives that are on the tree. Somebody has any feeling for these things, understand that this is where they came from. Therefore the Balim figures that, you know, it's such a case, decent people are going to take it, they know that it's mine, and if that's the case, he's not miyayish on it, because he figures that there's a good chance that people will be decent enough not to take it, being as they see where it came from.
It's near the actual tree.
It's right under the tree. Others learn that the word doesn't say chazuto, it says zeito, meaning his tree, the Zayah tree that's over it proves that it's his, and therefore people will not take it. So then, says the Gemara, well, if that's the case, you're saying, I forgot the natrin zeite media dia. Even though the zeitim drop, but they're still identifiable, duchta de inish inishu, this is a little strange, the place of a man is the man's place, which would mean, again, that it has to do with the fact that it's with the trees, and it doesn't have to be the zeitz. Some here, too, have a different gears, not duchta, but rather de zeita de inish inishu. They can identify the zeitz. But again, it would mean the same thing. In other words, we're coming back to the fact that the guy will not necessarily be Miyayish. Therefore, this has nothing to do with Yir Shalom Idat. If he wasn't Miyayish, he wasn't Miyayish. But according to me, says Rava. But of course, that's the case of the Gemara, so the Yachya Afila Reishanami. So then what's the difference now between the Te'ina and the Zion? See, if you were telling me that the difference is the guy knows in advance it's going to fall, so then I say, that works out very well according to Abaye. Because Abaye says, guy has to know in order for you to be able to keep it. But now that you're telling me that the difference, that's not the difference. The difference is whether I can see whose it is. If you can see whose it is, what's the difference if it's a te'ena or whether it's a carob? It's a big difference. You see, because Amr Papa, te'ena in nefilat animesa. The point over here is not whether it's identifiable. It's that when a te'ena falls on the ground, it gets filthy. It's sticky. I mean, an olive and a carob, wash it off. I mean, it's fine. You try to get all the filth off of the te'ina. Now, if the girsa before was zeta, that it looks like this guy's zeta, then we'll have to say not that it gets dirty, but rather that it's nimeset, not nimeset, that it's disgusting, but rather that it's just melts away. In other words, whatever, it's the splotch now takes away whatever clear, I can't really tell whether it comes from this tree or not, so I'm going to be Mayra'et already to take it, because nothing in it. Now that would be the other approach with those other girsaot.
And this is all under Shuziyah? The tree is...
No. The tree is coming from my field, but a branch is hanging over the street. Ready. Elo mitziyot shelo ve'elo chayav lachritz. Elo mitziyot shelo. Matza perot mefuzarim, ma'ot mefuzarot, krikhon pushut rabim, igulei tvela, kikrot shel lachtom, machrozot shel dagim, vechatichot shel basar, gizei tsemer alokuchim imdinatam, anitzei pishtan ureshodot shel argaman, hare elo shelo. Asa boi de Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yudomer, kol sheyesh bo shinui, even if the thing itself doesn't have a simen, chayav lachritz, ketzat. Matzei gul dveila, but betocho cheres, kikar, betocho ma'ot. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, you can take for granted that ko kleyan puria, you don't have to bother in keeping. Matza perot mefuzorin, kava. Omre vitra kav viarba amot echidami. I derech nefila, filo tuvanami. Vi I derech inuach, afilo batzir meyachinami lo. Omre arvukva barchama, bemachnashta davidari askina. Well, how about a chatzi kav v'shteyamot ma'o? Is the issue over here that kav v'amah motem v'may? Mishum d'rafish yitirchayu, in which case chatzi kav v'shteyamot is not so much trouble. So kivin al nafish terchayu lo ma'afkelu, adilu mishum d'lo chashive. And chatzi kav v'shteyamot, kivin d'lo chashive, so then ma'afkelu. Kabayim b'shmona amot ma'o, kav v'arba motem v'may, mishum d'nafish terchayu koshken kabayim, Bishmon Amot is even more nafish tirchayut, so for sure ma'afkelo. Delim shum dalo chashive, but kabayim, even though it's bishmon amot, but it is chashive. It's then no ma'afkelo. How about a kav tzumtzumin ba'arba amot ma'ot? Kav ba'arba amot ma'ot mishum dalo chashive tzumtzumin is certainly chashiv dalo ma'afkelo. Delim shum dalo nafish tirchayut, so tzumtzumin are even worse. Given the nafish tirchayut, tve ma'afkelo. Kav tamri ba'arba amot, kav rimuni ba'arba amot ma'ot. Kav ba'amot time of my mishum de lo chashive. Kav ta'amre bi'arba'amot. Kav rimuni bi'arba'amot. Na'am ikim de lo chashive ma'afkelu. Adem mishum de nefisha tirchayu. Kav ta'amre bi'arba'amot. Kav rimuni bi'arba'amot. That's not so much trouble to pick up. So ikim in lovish tirchayu. O ma'afkelu ma'ay take. Itzma. Yushel omidat abayamar lo avi yush rovam ravi yush. So bit of our sheesh po siman kuli abal plegit al avi yush. For that matter, Afagav the Shamina the Miyashul is so, if it's still not used then, here, because Kiyata the Yade, he was already being Suru, the Yate Yade is Mukhiv to return it. The Kiyata the Nafamina, you have no reason to say he would be Miyash, or Miyash, we have Simon Etubagave, Yavana Simon of a Shakyanale. On the other hand, the other extreme would be a Zuto Shoyam, or Shlilut Shal Nahar, of the Afagav the Yitbe, Simon Rachman is Shari, it could have been a Lemir Lakaman. So the machloket of Abai of Rava kicks in only in the middle. So keep plige, but the Vasha ain't bo siman, but he doesn't know about it. So Abai Amar lo avi yush, do halo yoda de nofa mine, Rava mar avi yush, de lach yeda de nofa mine, he's going to be miyayish. Meima aromer siman alat lebegavei, therefore miyashtu de miyayish. Toshma, perot mefuzarim lo yada de nofa mine, well, we already explained that, didn't we? Amar vuk v'barchama. In which case, he meant to leave it there. It's an aveda midahati. Tashma, ma'ot mefuzarot, haray elu shalo, amai. Hala yada denofa mine. Oh, atam nanit rugitchat. Yomar adam hasri lamashmesh bekisor bechor sha'a v'sha'a. Hanami adam lamashmesh bekisor bechor sha'a v'sha'a. Well, what about igulei dveila v'kikrot shal nachton? Haray elu shalo, amai. V'hala yada denofa mine. Atamnami agav diyekire mida yada bahu. Tashma. Ashanot shel argaman areilu shel avamai. Halo yada denaf amine. Atamnami agav dechashive mashmush me mamashmush prokrav yitzhak. Tashma. Hamotze ma'ot bebate knesiyot bebate midrashot bechol makom sharabim mitzuyim sham. Areilu shel amipnei sham ba'alim mityashim eyam. Big deal. Halo yada denaf amine. Omrav Yitzchak Adam Asur Lamashmesh Bekiso Bechol Sha'a. Tashma, Me'imatai Kol Adam Mutarim Beleket Misha Yelchu Bahanimoshot V'amina. My Nimoshot V'omrav Yochanan Sabe Da Azri Atigra V'shlokish Amalekute Bato Lekute. Well, I don't care what they are, because I'm I. Nehi De Aniyim Da Achim Yayish. There's always Aniyim somewhere. Delo Miyayish. Amri, Kivin Ik Aniyim Hacha. Aniyim anywhere else are by definition miyayish, straight out. Mikor yayish miyayish ramaniyim da'ata malakit lehu. Tashma, matzak et tziyot baderech, vafilu bitzat steik tziyot, v'chein te'ina nota l'derech. U'matzat te'inim tachtea, mutarot mishum gezel u'pturot mina ma'aser. B'zaitim u'b'charuvim, asur subishim, a racial abai is not a problem. Because agav dechashive mimash mishpahum. The tain is also not a problem because media dia denatra. But the case of the seif of the rabba doesn't make any sense. It says, b'zeitim b'charuvim asur. Omer Rabbi Avu, shayne zayit ova chazuto mochiach alav. V'af agav denatrin zeite, nonetheless media dia because duchta de inishu. So then the same thing should be true about the taina. Omer Rabbi Avu, taina im nifilata nimeset or nimeset.